Now that we have become familiar with the lyrics, the raga, the tala, let's move on to understanding the inner feeling with which this bhajan should be sung, so that we can offer it with heartfelt devotion to our beloved Lord. So let's begin by understanding the meaning of every word of this bhajan. We start with the first line.
Akhila jagat ke data sai.
Akhila means all. The second word is jagat, meaning universe. And jagat comes from ja and gat, signifying the endless cycle of birth and death. Akhila jagat therefore refers to all universes, implying the possibility of existence of several universes. Moving on, the third word is ke, meaning of, and the fourth word is data, meaning provider. The fifth word is sai. Professor Kasturi has explained that sai means master, and the word can also be traced to the Persian word shah or shahi, which means king. Sa in sai also means divine. A touching incident connected with the devastating earthquake that hit the small town of Bhuj in the state of Gujarat on January 26, 2001 is what comes to mind. As India was celebrating its Republic Day, at around 9 a.m., a very powerful earthquake struck Bhuj and completely leveled the town. Thousands died and many were left homeless with all their possessions wiped out in a few seconds. At that time, Bhagwan was in Vrindavan because a few days earlier, on January 19, 2001, Swami had inaugurated the super speciality hospital at Whitefield. Brother Harishankar, an alumnus of Bhagwan's college and currently working in the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, shared with us this incident. He was in his first year of MBA in Prashantinam campus at that time. Just like everyone else, he and all the student brothers in the hostel were deeply affected by the earthquake, and they too wanted to do something as a group. So they made an announcement over the intercom in the college hostel asking students to donate clothes that they were no longer using and also articles which they thought might be of use to the victims in Bhuj. And within a day they were able to put together several items and they shipped it immediately to the place of the catastrophe. Bhagwan came to Prashantinilam a few days later, and by this time he had made arrangements for a huge consignment of relief material to reach the town of Bhuj. A convoy of 75 lorries consisting of 75,000 new dhotis, 75,000 new saris and a host of materials to aid in making a temporary shelter for the people. All these items were flagged off the day Bhagwan returned to Prashantinilam. And that evening, the warden of the hostel felt it was an opportune time to please Swami by informing him of what the students had done as a spontaneous gesture of love. So Brother Hari shares that he was there in the front row and was waiting expectantly to hear those words of praise from Bhagwan because of the immediate efforts that the students had put in alleviating the suffering of the victims. But that evening, even as the warden started narrating the sequence of events, Bhagwan's face slowly turned into a scowl. He looked so unhappy, and this was totally unexpected. Hari began to wonder what was happening, and the warden too actually stopped his narration because Bhagwan's expressions became so sorrowful. And Swami said, "I cannot believe how insensitive your students can be," Swami told to the warden. "See, when I sent materials to those people in Gujarat, what did I send? I sent new dhotis and new saris, articles of use which are completely brand new. And what did you all send? Your used articles and used clothes which cannot be worn anymore. This is what you sent?" Hari says, at that moment, he felt as if he had peeked into the heart of God. He says, "We thought we loved, but we did not even know the basic definition of love. For us, the people in Gujarat were faceless, nameless identities. We did not have any idea of who they were and could not identify them. But for Bhagwan, they were his own children. At that moment of their suffering, we had forgotten that they have dignity. It is only Swami who could understand that their dignity was still important to them. In fact, Bhagwan had clearly instructed one of the elders, whom he sent along with the convoy, that when the items were downloaded from the lorries, they should be personally given to each person. Bhagwan said, you should go to the person, speak lovingly and then offer the items. It is not that you keep the items in one place and ask some other person or a distributing agency to disburse them. The earthquake victims were grateful for the relief material and many people said that the Sai organization was the only organization that treated them like people. After all, many of them were very well off just the previous night. They were rendered homeless the next morning. A cruel twist of destiny. They obviously felt hurt when someone threw things at them, giving out as if out of sympathy and pity. But Bhagwan wanted the Sai workers to serve them in a different manner. He wanted everyone to feel one with the other person's pain. That is the touch of Lord Sai. So when we sing Akhila Jagat Ke Data Sai, we hail the Supreme Lord for whom all the universes and all the beings in every universe are His own. He alone is the provider for everyone. Let's move on to the second line.
Shirdi Nivasi Bhagwan.
Here the first word is Shirdi, referring to the holy land of Shirdi, where Sai Baba lived for 60 years. The second word is Nivasi, meaning one who lives in, coming from Nivas, which means residence. Bhagwan, the third word, literally means Lord. Bha stands for Srishti, Ga stands for protection, Va stands for Layam. Therefore, the one who holds all these three ultimate powers, creation, protection and emergence, dissolution, he is Bhagwan. Several details about Shirdi Sai Baba were not known until Swami as Satya Sai revealed them in a discourse on 28 September 1990, which was the birth anniversary of Shirdi Sai. Shirdi Baba was born on September 28, 1835, but after his birth, both his parents left in the forest as renunciants. And so a Sufi fakir, who too was childless in the same village, took the baby and brought him up. The boy stayed in the fakir's home for 4 years from 1835 to 1839. When the fakir passed away, his wife was grief-stricken. And to add to their worries, the boy kept behaving oddly. He would visit a Hindu temple and sing songs in praise of Allah and so on. Unable to deal with the situation, the lady handed over the boy to a noble soul, a pious scholar named Venkusa, who was living near her house. The boy stayed in Venkusa's ashram for 12 years from 1839 to 1851. But one night in 1851, the boy left the ashram and reached Shirdi, which was a very small village at that time. He stayed there for just 2 months and then wandered from place to place. After many years, he reached a place called Dhupkheda, and when he was residing there, the marriage of Chand Patil's brother's son was celebrated. Baba joined the marriage party and reached Shirdi in the year 1858. From then on, he remained there for 60 years until his Mahasamadhi in 1918. Thus in this line, Shirdi Nivasi Bhagwan, we hail the Supreme Lord who graced the land of Shirdi with His beautiful physical presence for 6 decades. Let's move on to the third line.
Darshan do Bhagwan Sai.
The first word here is darshan, meaning the bliss of the vision of the Lord or the vision of a revered person. The second word is do, meaning grant. And the last phrase, Bhagwan Sai, means Lord Sai. So when we sing this line, we entreat our beloved Lord to grant us the bliss of His darshan. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Darshan do Bhagwan.
All the words in this line are known to us. Let me recount a beautiful incident recorded in the book Man of Miracles by Mr. Howard Moffat. The incident was shared by Mrs. Kamala Sarathi, a staunch devotee of Bhagwan. It concerns a person named Mr. V.S. Chidambaram, a violinist who was Mrs. Kamala's music master. The incident happened in Delhi in 1950 when Mrs. Kamala and Mr. Chidambaram had both been devotees of Baba for over 2 to 3 years. They had visited Puttaparthi 5-6 times during that period, and Mr. Chidambaram was in fact living in a room in Mrs. and Mr. Sarathi's house in New Delhi. One morning, Mr. Chidambaram, who was then about 45 years old, was riding his bicycle. He had been out teaching some pupils and was due back home to give a violin lesson to Mrs. Kamala at 11 a.m. He was turning a problem over in his mind, even as he was cycling. It used to cost him a lot of money to travel all the way to Puttaparthi, and though he had had beautiful and wonderful experiences there, he began wondering if he could really afford these trips to Puttaparthi. He says, "I was thinking whether Baba was a real incarnation of God and whether it was worth spending so much money in going to Puttaparthi every time." Even as he had this thought, an old sadhu or a holy man came cycling fast behind him and caught up with him. The holy man was wearing a robe and a cloth tied around his head, just like Shirdi Baba. Mr. Chidambaram spotted and offered his salutations to the holy man, who said he would like to speak to him in private. Since the street was busy and noisy, he suggested going to a quiet spot. Mr. Chidambaram, realizing that he would be late for Kamala's lesson, made some protest, but the holy man said it would take just 10 minutes. So Mr. Chidambaram says, "I had the feeling that this sadhu was like Shirdi Baba, and so I consented to go with him." And after walking some distance down a side road, pushing their bicycles, they came to an old tomb on which the holy man sat, putting one leg over the other in the manner of Shirdi Baba. After making customary gestures of respect and reverence, Mr. Chidambaram sat on the ground before the holy man, and then the holy man asked him, "Who do you think I am?" And Mr. Chidambaram replied, "You seem to be like Shirdi Baba." The holy man then held out his palm and said, "All right, see my hand." And Mr. Chidambaram saw that the palm of this holy person became a mirror in which was reflected the figure of Satya Sai of Puttaparthi in radiant colors. He was sitting on a chair and smiling. Mr. Chidambaram gazed in awe at the vision he saw on the palm. The holy man then unbuttoned his robe and undershirt to expose his chest, and there again Mr. Chidambaram saw a vision of Satya Sai, but this time sitting with a garland around him, shining and blissful. He was completely overcome and he began to tremble. He began to shed tears of joy. Next, the holy man rubbed his back as Satya Sai often did for devotees in distress. He smeared vibhuti on his forehead and fed him some candy, both of which he materialized from the air. And then, assuring Mr. Chidambaram that the two Sai Babas are one, the holy man said, "Do not lose heart under any circumstance. It is because of my love for you that I have come." And now, as they walked away, Mr. Chidambaram begged the holy man, whom he now believed was Sai Baba, to come with him to the home of Mrs. Sarathi. But the holy man declined the offer, and Mr. Chidambaram writes, "I watched him cycle off the quiet road. In 2 minutes, both he and the bicycle had completely vanished." Needless to say, from then on, Chidambaram had no doubts about Baba's divinity. So in this line, "Darshan Do Bhagwan," we bow in gratitude to the Lord who manifests anywhere and at any time to grant us the bliss of His darshan in any form. Any form we love and adore. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Kalimala Bhanjana Paramadayaghana.
Here Kalimala comes from Kali, referring to the Kali Yuga, and Mala means impurity. The second word is Bhanjana, means to destroy. So Kalimala Bhanjana means the one who annihilates the evil things of the Kali age. The third word is Parama, meaning supreme. The fourth word is Dayaghana, coming from Daya, meaning compassion, and Ghana means full of or heavy with. So when we sing this line, Kalimala Bhanjana Parama Dayaghana, we hail the supreme compassionate Lord who incarnated as Shirdi Sai and Satya Sai to redeem us by removing all our impurities. Let's move on to the sixth line.
करुणानिधे शिर्डीवासा.
The first word here is Karunanidhe, coming from Karuna meaning compassion. Nidhe means inexhaustible source. So in this line, we offer our salutations to the Lord of Shirdi, who is verily the infinite source of compassion. We move on to the next line.
Karunanidhe Partivasa.
Here again, the lyrics are same as the previous line, except that instead of Shirdivasa, we have Partivasa. So here we pay our obeisance to the Lord of Puttaparthi, who is the storehouse of supreme compassion. Let's move on to the eighth line.
Dina janavana parthi mahesha.
Dina janavana. Dina means weak or forlorn, and janavana refers to people. Mahesha comes from Maha meaning greatest and Isha meaning Lord or Master. So Dina Janavana Parthi Mahesha, we glorify the Supreme Lord of Puttaparthi, who always reached out to the weak and the destitute and fostered them in every possible way. We move on to the next line.
Shirdi Nivasi Bhagavan.
Now this is a repeat of an earlier line of this bhajan. Let's move on.
Darshan do Bhagavan Sai.
This too is a repeat of an earlier line, and we now come to the last line.
Darshan do Bhagavan.
This again has occurred before in this bhajan. So with this, dear listeners, we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan.